Ahamatma Gudadkesha Sarva Bhuta Shayastitaha Ahamadis Chamadyamcha Bhutanam Manta Evacha Ahamatma Gudadkesha Sarva Bhuta Shayastitaha Ahamadis Chamadyamcha Bhuta Nam Manta Evacha Ahamatma Gudakesha Sarva Bhuta Sayastitaha Ahamadis Chamadyamcha Bhuta Nam Manta Evacha Aham I, Atma, the soul, Gudakesha, O Arjuna, Sarvabhuta, of all living entities, Ashayastitaha, situated within the heart. Aham, I am, sorry, I am. Adihi, the origin. Cha, also, Madhyam, middle, Cha, also, Bhutanam, of all living entities, Antaha, and, Eva, certainly, Cha, and. Translation, I am the Super Soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Purport. In this verse, Arjuna is addressed as Gudakesh, which means one who has conquered the darkness of sleep. For those who are sleeping in the darkness of ignorance, it is not possible to understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself in various ways in the material and spiritual world. Thus, this address by Krishna to Arjuna is significant. Because Arjuna is above such darkness, the Personality of Godhead agrees to describe his various opulences. Krishna first informs Arjuna that he is the soul of the entire cosmic manifestation by dint of his primary expansion. Before the material creation, the Supreme Lord, by his plenary expansion, accepts the Purusha incarnations, and from him everything begins. Therefore, he is Atma, the soul of the Mahatattva, the universal elements. The total material energy is not the cause of creation. Actually, the Mahavishnu enters into the Mahatattva, the total material energy. He is the soul. When Mahavishnu enters into the manifested universes, he again manifests himself as the super soul in each and every living entity. We have experienced that the personal body of the living entity exists due to the presence of the spiritual spark. Without the existence of the spiritual spark, the body cannot develop. Similarly, the material manifestation cannot develop unless the Supreme Soul Krishna enters. As stated in the Subbal Upanishad, Prakriti Adi Sarva Bhutanam Yami Sarva Sheshiya Chanarayana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is existing as the Super Soul in all manifested universes. The three Purusha avatars are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They are also described in the Sarvatra Tantra. Vishnu Stutrini Rupani Purushakyani Ato Vidu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests in three features as Karanadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Shirodakshaya Vishnu in this material manifestation. The Mahavishnu or Karanadakshaya Vishnu is described in the Brahma Samhita. Ya Karanan Vala Jale Bhajati Sma Yoga Nidra. The Supreme Lord, Krishna, the cause of all causes, lies down in the cosmic ocean as Mahavishnu. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the beginning of this universe, the maintainer of the universal manifestation, and the end of all energy. Om again tamirandasya ginangana shalakaya chakshuram manitangana tasmashi guruve namaha shri chaitanya mano vistam stapitam yena bhutale svayamrupa giramaya virati svaradhum Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. I'm the Super Soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I'm the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. So in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna about his various opulences. And he states to him that, I'm not telling you everything, I'm just telling you a small part, a part that you can understand. So here in this conversation, all the qualifications that are necessary for a spiritual relationship are present. We see that Krishna has the ability to hear. He is with Krishna as a friend, and friends are always willing to listen to what other friends have to say. Of course, initially, Arjuna doesn't realize Krishna's supreme position. Only after Krishna has spoken the 9th chapter, which is the most secret of all secrets, the highest knowledge, does it start to dawn on Arjuna that this is not just my friend, this is also the supreme personality of Godhead. But regardless of that, he has the right qualifications. The right qualifications of a disciple are that he is willing to listen, he is humble, and he won't argue with whatever the spiritual master has to say. So Krishna too has qualifications of a spiritual master, because Krishna is the original spiritual master. And he manifests himself in which way? As the original spiritual master. Who knows? Lord Balaram. But nevertheless, sometimes it's taken that Radharani is the original guru, and sometimes it's taken that Balaram is the original guru. But at the same time, Krishna is also guru, because he restarts the parampara with Arjuna. And it's also Krishna who taught Lord Brahma. So he's the original spiritual master. So Krishna, because he's all pure, because he's absolute, because he doesn't lie, and because he follows his own principles, he has all the qualifications that are necessary to be a guru. And also, most importantly, he has absolute knowledge. This is the most important. So the Christians talk about Krishna, about God, as being the Alpha and the Omega. You may have heard of this term. Alpha refers to the beginning of the alphabet. Omega refers to the end of the alphabet, the Greek alphabet, beginning and end. But they don't talk about the middle. So here Krishna is stating, I'm the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. So the beginning, because Krishna actually establishes creation through Lord Brahma by glancing upon material nature, he impregnates her, and all the living entities come to life again. It's not that at that point they are created. They existed previously, but they're just lying in an unconscious state. So once again, when Mahavishnu glances upon material energy, they become agitated, come to life again, and start to try to fulfill their material desires, whatever they may be. So in this way, Krishna is initiating the creation. He initially creates through Mahavishnu, the form of Mahavishnu, and the secondary position, he creates through Lord Brahma. Now, no material entity, living entity, no jiva can maintain properly. It's easy to create, it's easy to destroy, but maintenance is extremely difficult. So only Vishnu is qualified to maintain. If we had to maintain the material cosmos, we would have messed it up a long time ago. So that's why Vishnu is put in that position. And he destroys through Lord Shiva right at the end of the whole cycle. So in the same way, the Super Soul is also present in the beginning, the middle, and the end. Have you ever wished that you could have a very, very special friend that could be with you through thick and thin? Yes, as he's someone saying yes. Someone who's there when you have your ups, when you have your downs. Because life is like a roller coaster. You go up and down, up and down. someone who you could reveal your mind to. Well, that friend is there, actually. He's there in the form of the super soul, just that we're not always aware of him. I'm sure all of you have had the experience where you hear this voice speaking in your head, do this, and then sometimes there's the counteracting voice saying, no, don't do this. You've all had that experience, I see some, no, do that. So this is understood to be the super soul. It's not our intelligence. It's actually, if it's spoken in the right way, it's the super soul that's giving guidance from within. But the super soul doesn't only give guidance. Sometimes he just lets the soul do what he wants. He guides the soul to get what he wants. And people might think that this is bad. If God wants what's good for us, why does he let us fall into temptation, do some sinful activities? Why doesn't he always lead us on the right path? And the reason is that if a living entity has such propensities, such desires, he has to fulfill them, because he won't come to the point of wanting Krishna without fulfilling those material desires. Just like Srila Prabhupada said that most of his followers would go to the heavenly planets because they still have material desires. The advantage of going to the heavenly planet is that you can enjoy a greater standard of sense gratification for many, many years. And there's no reaction involved. Whatever you do in the heavenly planets, all you're doing is exhausting your good karma. There's no reaction involved. So then you get a chance to come back and hopefully take birth in a family of devotees. The danger of that is that Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago, so 500 years of Kali Yuga have already passed. And when you go to the heavenly planets, it's like thousands of years in earth time. Of course, when you're enjoying, we all know if you kick yourself and you suffer for 2 minutes, it feels like it's forever. But if you're enjoying, 2 minutes is absolutely nothing. So by the time you come back here, the era of Lord Chaitanya will have passed. So there's a very good chance that you won't be able to make that much rapid advancement, because already you've proved that you've got material desires. So in this age, it's much easier to get purified and much easier to get rid of these material desires through engaging in devotional service. As we know, in previous ages, there was opulent deity worship. The standards were so high that we would never be able to... We can't even maintain the standards that Srila Prabhupada gave us now. So many temples are dropping things off the deity standard, but the deity standard is nothing compared to what it was maybe 100 years ago in India, never mind in a previous age. And with our agitation and our desire for sense gratification, would we really be able to go back to the first age and sit down and meditate for thousands of years? Seems like it's really impossible. So what's the option? Hopefully taking life in another planet or possibly coming back as an animal. Because if you don't qualify to do yagya and sacrifice, then what are you going to do? You have to take birth somehow. So Krishna joins the living entity and he guides the living entity through his life. And at any point on this journey through life, we can turn to Krishna or we can choose to reject him. It's explained that they're like two birds sitting on the tree. And we're the bird that's enjoying. We're sitting and eating fruit. And some of the fruits are very sweet. That's when we're enjoying. But some of the fruits are very bitter. And the super soul, the bird that represents the super soul, the bird that represents the super soul, he's just watching the other bird eating. He's not taking part in the enjoyment. He's not taking part in the suffering. But any time that you choose to turn to the super soul and surrender to him and beg, then he leads you to an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. This is an important point that should be. So Srila Prabhupada says here, we have experienced that the personal body of the living entity exists due to the presence of the spiritual spark. Srila Prabhupada often used to give the example that if you go to a funeral and you don't know exactly what's going on, and you go up to someone and you ask them what happened, and people will be crying and saying, "He's gone, he's gone." And you ask them, "Who's gone?" "Because I see the body right there, it's in front of me." So this is how we can understand that the body becomes motivated through the spiritual spark which is within, which is the real us. So the super soul incarnates millions and millions of times, and he enters into the heart of every living entity. And sometimes when we talk about this, devotees make the mistake of thinking that we have one super soul inside our body. In fact, our body is full of other living entities. In fact, if without some of the living entities like bacteria and things like that, we wouldn't be able to exist, we would just die. Apart from that, every single cell in your body is a living entity, because it can die. It dies actually after 7 years. So this means that within our body we have hundreds of different souls and hundreds of super souls, just that we are the predominating soul within this body. So just imagine that if you take to devotional service and you're chanting Hare Krishna and other living entities can hear, then you're benefiting so many souls. All the souls that are within your body also get a chance to become Krishna conscious. This is another reason why we should try to make some effort to become Krishna conscious. So, in the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, therefore the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the beginning of this universe, because he's just explained about Mahavishnu, who expands and becomes the super soul within every living entity. He's the maintainer of the universal manifestation. Once again, to be able to maintain any kind of thing is very difficult. Never mind planets that are balancing in the middle of nowhere. So only Vishnu can do that. And he is the end of all energy. So destruction also takes place ultimately through the sanction of Krishna at the end of the age. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? You have any questions, Mataji? You must have thousands of questions. You can ask. You understand the concept? So basically in the beginning there's Krishna. Krishna explains as Mahavishnu. You've seen Mahavishnu in the other one. So from him comes the different planets, and another Mahavishnu like him manifests. He's called the Shirodakshai Vishnu. He lies on an ocean of milk. Shir means milk. And from him come thousands and thousands of super souls, which is also Krishna in the form of Vishnu with four arms. And he comes and he sits in the heart next to the soul. That's you, the real you. So that's basically what we're talking about, the super soul. Sorry. And then each living entity, whether it be grass, snake, grasshopper, whatever, they've all got the soul and the super soul. So they all misidentify. The snake thinks I'm a snake, the lion thinks I'm a lion. But actually, you're the soul within the body. Generally, in my experience, other devotees might tell you different things, but in my experience, it's a kind of different voice. It's very, very loud and very persistent. Whereas the voice of consciousness changes. One day it says do this, and another day it says do that. But what I perceive to be the super soul is very persistent and never changes its mind. You have some experience, Prabhu? It's more blissful. When I was living in South Africa, I had an experience that I could only describe as the super soul. There's no way it could have been my consciousness. My consciousness couldn't have known. We have these big, like minibus, you know, minibus? There's about 14 people can go inside. This is the main form of transport in South Africa because the government trains and buses are so useless. I was in a taxi. We call them taxis. They're not so expensive, like, when you sit in a car, you really pay a lot of money. So suddenly my heart started beating like anything. And this voice said to me, "You're going to be robbed." And I knew that when I get out of the car, I'm going to be walking on the road and someone's going to come with a gun or a knife and they're going to rob me. But the problem is that from the place where we were going to stop, there are four ways to go home. And I realized this is the super soul, and I start asking which way should I go to avoid this. And that's where the super soul stopped speaking. And I walked right into it. It was a terrifying experience. It actually happened. I got robbed. You saw the knife? You saw the knife? What kind of things was he saying? What was he saying to you? But somebody told you you're going to meet this person in India? So, okay. That's good. Thank you. So to continue the story, I started to walk, just hoping that I'd chosen the right route, because I told you there's four ways to go. So suddenly, you know, when someone looks at you from behind, you can feel. When someone stares at you, you get a cold feeling running down your spine. So I felt this cold feeling, and then I realized the person's here, there's nothing I can do. I just have to surrender to Krishna. And previously I'd heard that if criminals come after you, run into the street, they won't follow you, because if there's cars coming and they're concentrating on you, they'd only get knocked over. So they try and think of something. It normally works. Just at that point, all the cars stopped. The road was empty. So I thought, okay, run across the street. And I ran across to a petrol station. And they were right behind me. So I went and sat down where there was a group of people, because they won't rob you in public. And I sat and waited and waited. I hadn't seen them yet, but I knew they were behind me. So after about 20 minutes, I thought, they must have, you know, changed their minds, and now they're going to go and rob someone else. They're going to wait hours for me, you know. Then as I got up and I walked around the corner, one guy grabbed me and said, "Welcome to South Africa." Because I'm white, he thought I'm a foreigner. Mm-hmm.